It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning. Welcome to the Grilling Guys. This is Barbecue Bob. I'm flying without my right-hand man here, and Conrad has stepped up to grab the reins and keep this wagon on the trail.
Oh, man. Well, we got a new wagon master on the phone here for us.
Yeah, we are we're talking in the wild today. Anything wild we're doing on the grill. So when you think of wild, I know Conrad thinks of Brad Enzing right off the bat from Garrett's Appliance. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. And we talk about being the new wagon master. I'm going to drive this thing right off a cliff. So let's get going.
Okay. So what kind of wild foods are you throwing on the grill right now, Brad?
Gentlemen, this time of year, it is two things for me. It is fishing and it is going out, of course, mushroom hunting. We all know I love to do that. So weekends spent up north in the cottage, I spent a lot of times around the Newaygo, Big Rapids area, and panfish this year, at least for me, has been absolutely spectacular, along with it's been some good pike fishing and bass fishing, and my fryer seems to be running nonstop.
That's awesome.
Actually, just the other day at work here, I did a company-wide fish fry, or I should say company for those people that wanted to eat fish at work. But we fried up probably about 30 bluegill, crappie, and perch here the other day with some homemade tartar sauce, and it was absolutely amazing.
Well, you guys had a nice big lake fishing adventure a couple weeks ago, too. How'd that go?
We did. So we went out of Holland, and we got into some coho, lake trout as well. Don't know, we had a little post on the Garrett's webpage here, or Facebook page, I should say. Saturday, I came into work early, fired up one of our Traeger grills, and actually smoked probably about 15 pounds of lake trout, which absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, of course, smoking fish is a process. It's not, you know, for people that have never done it before, it's not, you just grab the fish, you throw them on the smoker. I had some thicker pieces of lake trout and some thinner pieces. Thinner pieces, I let brine for approximately, 8-10 hours. The thicker pieces, I actually did 24 to 36 hours.
Right.
And of course, when you're doing a brine, it's normally consisting of, I throw some bay leaves in there, some kosher salt, non-iodized kosher salt, as well as some brown sugar. I tend to throw a little paprika, a little onion powder, a little garlic powder in there as well. Then, of course, after you let those fish sit in the brine, take them off, you wash them off, and then I throw them in the refrigerator uncovered, for a couple days, let them get that pellicle on them so that smoke will adhere better. And then the smoking process itself after that, you know, I smoked the fish at about 155 to 160 degrees, and they went about 8 hours until they hit internal temperature of about 145 to 150 degrees. Pull them off, let them rest for about 4 hours to 8 hours, just in the open air, then refrigerate them after that, and then they are good to go. And I tell you what, if you've never had some good smoked fish, whether it's, you know, lake trout or salmon or coho, they are absolutely delicious just by themselves. But not only that, you know, I do a lot of times where I'll bring in like smoked salmon dip with a cream cheese chive type base.
Right.
Absolutely. Everybody loves it.
You talk about lake trout, and a lot of people wrinkle their nose on lake trout because it's kind of oily.
It is very oily, and it does have a rather, you know, it can have a lot fishier taste than, you know, a younger salmon. Even when you get into those big king salmon, a lot of the times they'll have a fishier taste. So
right.
If I'm looking for something to throw on the grill, and either grilling salmon or I do a lot of pan-seared blackened salmon, coho, the bigger ones I'll tend to chop up and I'll smoke those, because smoking those takes that fishy taste right on out of them. And again, for a treat, every time I go to a party, if I've made it before, people are always asking about it. People that listen to the show, they're like, hey, heard about, you know, you bringing on some smoked salmon dip on the Grilling Guys show. You're gonna bring that over here, right? And it depends if I like the people or not, but most of the time, yes. I love to cook. And the biggest thing, you know, as whether you're a griller or an outdoorsman, is being able to share that with people that don't have, you know, that outlet to have something
or
like
don't
that.
Take the opportunity.
You know, it's a lot of work. It is. It's a painless, thankless job most of the time. But, you know, when you see people enjoying something like that, it makes it all worthwhile. Then you can tell the story along with it. You can introduce them into a way of, hey, maybe you should come out with me. Maybe you should be outdoors a little bit more, and this is something you could do for yourself.
So,
just
Brad,
remember, not everything comes from the grocery store.
Right. You're better off if it doesn't. So, Brad, I'm going to back you up a little bit. We're talking to Brad Enzing from Garrett's Appliance, and Brad is a unique individual in that he is very much into small game fishing and mushrooms. So you've taught me a lot about mushrooms, and I have a lot more to learn. But we talk about brining the fish, and you let it dry to get that pellicle. And some people might not know what a pellicle is, and that's where it, when it dries, it gets sort of a tough skin on it, even though you're talking about the raw meat. It's not the skin of the fish, but it gets almost a plastic film on it. And that is really, you say it's to keep the smoke to adhere to. I think it's almost more to keep the smoke from overpowering it.
Yeah, you don't want the smoke to go too deep into the fish.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to lose, you know, some of the flavor of the fish as well. But, you know, the other problem I find a lot of people have when smoking fish is they use too high of a heat. And when
right.
you use too high of a heat, I can't remember the actual term for it, but some of the fat of that salmon or, you know, that fish from the big lake will actually render off, and it leaves kind of a greasy, oily, whitish, I think it's alumin or alubin is the technical name for it. But that starts coming out of the fish, and that's something you want to try to get away from. When that fish comes out, it should just be that kind of goldeny, reddish type color. If you do that and you don't have a bunch of white, you know, pussy looking stuff
right.
coming out of your fish, you
right.
know you've done it right.
Right. And so I find that if I take the skin off of it, that gets to bleed out the bottom a little bit too, so I don't get that bubbling to the top.
Correct. You know, the last batch I did, I left the skin on the back. I cut my pieces a little smaller, and I only had probably out of the 15 pounds, maybe about a pound that, you know, 3-4 pieces that I had a little bit of that coming to the surface. So that was a good batch going. And it's something that's not difficult to do. It's just a time-consuming process. And it's not that it needs to be babysat. You just need to go through the steps to do it properly.
You know, I think trout and salmon have a little more of a fishy taste than a lot of the fish I tend to like. So that's why I take the skin off and I put them on a soaked cedar plank to smoke them or grill them. There's something about that cedar that tends to calm that punkiness. Especially trout. You know, trout are very punky, and a lot of people won't eat trout because of that. But I find that cedar planks, little pieces of cedar siding work, any pieces of cedar that are either aromatic or white cedar, doesn't matter. It tends to work quite well.
And I would agree with you, especially on lake trout. When we get into
yeah.
doing like some fly fishing or river trout, nothing better than throwing those on a little grill grate right over top of your campfire if you're out in the woods backpacking or camping. You know, those fish are so mild, so flaky, so delicious.
Yes.
You know, a little lemon, little seasoning on top. Or you can do what I love too is blue trout. It's more of a French thing where you put a little vinegar in with some water, and you actually just kind of let them steep in the vinegar. It's called blue trout. It's just an amazing treat, especially if you're starving back in the woods, if you're backpacking like me and you're trying to be like, you know, we're going to do this
yeah.
all natural. We're going to forage
right.
for everything.
Right.
You don't bring any food with you. It's amazing what a good trout of the river will do for the spirits.
Well, Brad, we're going to end this segment, but I'd like you to hang around a little bit because next segment we're going to bring in T-Gid from Louisiana. And I think we might be able to get, if Conrad can get the electronics figured out here, we'll get both of you on and we can chat a little bit, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is Grilling Guys. It's the Wild Show. We'll be back.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes. It's going to be big. Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131 at exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, because your dollar ain't ish, and it's taxed
the Grilling Guys.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. It's the Wild Show, and we're going into segment two here with, we're going to bring in our board of directors member, Keith Guidry. We call him T-Gid in the house.
Big smile, brother. Big smile.
Keith is, he's got a show. He's in Lafayette, Louisiana, and he's got a television show down there called Grilling with the Gurus. Him and his crazy partner just cook up some fantastic Cajun. And I know Brad would love all the food you're doing, because Brad is a man who will eat anything that won't eat him first. So, Brad, happy to introduce you to T-Gid.
T-Gid, how are you doing, brother?
I'm great, man.
I just want to talk about catfish now. I'm talking about South. I
want to
talk
No. We're going to talk about something I want to talk about now.
Yeah,
Brad.
We don't want to listen to Bob.
Brad brought up some pike, and that got me just really hungry thinking about grilling or deep frying or whatever you like to do to your pike. But, Brad, I'm curious, are you pretty good at boning pike? Because that's the
sure
key.
Am.
That's the key.
It is a process. And if you've never boned out a pike, the biggest complaint with people that I talk to that will go pike fishing is they always throw them back because pike have what's called a Y bone in them. Mm-hmm. So you can't just clean them like a panfish or a bass or a salmon, anything like that. What I tend to do, I call it the 5, or someone calls it the 5 fillet method. So what you do is basically set the pike upright, so the belly is facing down, and you basically are going to take the back straps out of the pike. So you're going to slice behind the head, go back to the start of the top fin. So basically, you're going to just scalp the top of the pike right off. From there, that'd be fillet number one. From there, you're going to go down both the sides where you can kind of feel the Y bone, and then you'll just kind of do both the side fillets, and then you'll do the back fillets. So it ends up being 5 total fillets, but by doing that, I'm normally about 99% bone free. One thing that my dad never did, still caught him this weekend when we were cleaning perch that I caught over by Hardy. Big mess of perch, by the way, 33 perch in 2 hours.
Mm.
But my dad never double checked his fillets. I always run my hands over the fillets before I clean them off and bag them just to find that extra stray bone here and there. So I don't get complaints from friends and family that, hey, the fish was delicious, but I got a bone stuck in
got
the
a bone to
my
pick.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You know, needle nose work really well for that. Or
yep, they do.
Or roach clips, whatever those things are the doctors use.
Oh, boy.
Porcelain.
Wow.
You know, for the big pike, if you don't want to, if you're not any good at cutting the Y bone out, what I've done for the big pike is I cut them into about 1.5-inch chops. And then oil up and brine, whatever you want to season them with. Throw them on the grill, meat side up, meat side down, and grill them like that slowly. That thing will open right up, and the next thing you know, the meat is separating from the bone, and you've got like 4 nice little chops out of one chop. or actually eight.
And so, I'll tell you what, that's a delicious way to do it. One other way that nobody ever talks about, pickled pike.
Oh, yeah.
I've done some batches of pickled pike this past year. It dissolves the bones right out of them.
Really?
It's a little bit more of an acquired taste, but it is absolutely delicious. I went 50-50 at work. I had a gal here that you'd think, oh, you know, a gal that's going to love pickled pike. I swear she ate an entire quart of it. She couldn't let it go. And I just kept feeding it to her. It was all good.
Which sounds like a firm fish.
It is. Well, yes, absolutely. It's just a big walleye, really, in certain species of the family. It's related to the walleye and the perch. It's lineage in there somewhere. I don't know how it works, but you can see in the muscle groups how the fish lays out. Keith, when you're down in you're on Toledo Lake.
Toledo Bend. We have a place, yeah, and then we're about 30 miles from the coast of the Gulf of Mexico as well. So, you know, at any given point, we could be freshwater fishing or saltwater fishing within a couple hours.
And what, you typically bring in bass out of that lake?
Yes, bass. I mean, a lot of people, y'all call them crappie. We call them sacale, which is French for white belly. A lot of people fish for that, and then there's some brim and some perch in there as well.
I got a picture from my nephew, guys. He was up north. He's a fishing freak. He's about 19. His name's Graham, and he caught I'd say about a 3-foot gar.
No, they got that too.
I
am big on gar.
Really?
Not big on gar though. Nah,
never caught a gar.
They're a pretty ugly fish.
It's
they're
prehistoric
pretty on your line.
Yeah,
but a lot of people catch them and they'll either make gar steaks, kind of like what you're talking about, Bob, with that pike.
Okay.
Or they'll make gar balls, like meatballs, but out of gar meat, and because it's a very mushy kind of meat, and so once you harvest it, you have to freeze it right away, or cook it right away,
or it starts to break down.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ted, when they're doing quickly. That, are they mixing in like a breadcrumb like they do with a meatball?
Just like a meatball, yeah, egg and breadcrumbs, and then you bread it and fry it. And, again, I'm not big on it. They're kind of an ugly fish. They kind of scare me. I like them green monsters, you know, them large mouths. And
you swim like with crocodiles and you're afraid of a fish. That's funny.
Now, crocodile, I'll eat the hell out of an alligator. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I mean, if ever you've seen them, the scales are really, I mean, it's like I said, it's something from prehistoric days, and they're just kind of wicked looking. I don't know, kind of like a snake.
Like a sturgeon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's old like a sturgeon.
Now, T. Gid just brought it up, and this is a great thing that I'd love to have him touch on. There's so many, I'll say, snobs in Michigan that take a look at a largemouth or a smallmouth bass, and they say it's no good eating. And I beg to differ. Smallmouth and largemouth are delicious.
I'll tell you a quick story. You know, we got invited to go cook for the Robertsons, you know, Duck Dynasty people. And Jace, one of the boys, you know, what we did is we pan-seared them. We had it on the Cajun grill. We had a black iron skillet. And I have a special seasoning that I put in there on the fish, and then put a pat of butter in the skillet and just pan fry it until it's blackened, but not burnt. You know, the difference between blackening a fish and burning a fish. But you blacken it and you make like a brown butter sauce. And when he ate it, he said, "What's this?" And I said, "What's bass?" He said, "I don't eat bass. We throw those back. We're crappie fishermen." And I said, "Try it." And he tried it. And he said, "From now on, I'm keeping bass." He said, "That was the best tasting fish I've ever had." So I think it depends on how you prepare it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, T-Gid, I know if you come up here, I'm going to bring you over to meet Brad because we could have some fun.
We'll leave Bob. We'll hop in the bass boat. We'll go out and do some fishing, man. We don't need Bob.
Ouch. That's not part of my territory, but I might have to make a special trip up there, brother.
Okay.
I'm telling you, bourbon, a cigar probably, and fishing without Bob sounds like a blessing from the Lord on high.
So what, okay, give me like a 2-month window. What's the best time of the year to be up in y'all's area?
Depends what you want to fish for.
Right.
I'd say if we're hitting really, actually, June, July, August is great bass fishing month. Normally beginning of
You know, we're hitting up on the time clock, as a matter of fact, Brad. If you guys can hang on, we're going to take a break here on the Grilling Guys, and we'll continue on the other side, if that's cool.
That's cool with me.
Cool by me.
All right, we'll be back. It's the Grilling Guys.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Overtime hours. Bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's got.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back to the Grillin' Guys. It's the Wild Show, and we just brought in T. Gidd, and we for some reason let Brad Ensing tag along. Even though he's throwing me under the bus, I'm going to let him tag along so he can throw a few more harpoons before he gets done with me.
Nothing but love, brother.
I know.
Nothing but love.
I know. Hey, you know, thinking of doing the bass, I'm one of those guys that used to be guilty, and it was T-Gid that talked me into trying to like bass, and he's absolutely right. What other fish, like down in your area, Keith, what other fish do people snub their nose at that are good?
Well, I mean, I don't know if people snub their nose, but there's different ways you can prepare. I mean, y'all heard of redfish, right? Like a red drum.
Right.
It's become a very highly sought after sport fish to go after. They even have tournaments.
Right.
Well, it used to be that people would throw them back, you know, because they figured it was a drum and it wasn't a good fish. But here lately, I'd say in the last 20 years, it's become a delicacy. You can order it in restaurants and everything. But the best way to do it is to take the fillet and just go all the way from head to tail and leave the scales on and just go through it. And then just debone the rib cage on the half shell, we call it. And then you put it over an indirect fire on a grill and you baste it as it goes with the scale side down with some lemon butter and garlic sauce. And you can put some lemon wedges on it as well. Put a little dill in there. Wouldn't hurt a bit at all. And you cook it until the meat's flaky, and when you take it off, you basically serve it, as we call it, on the half shell. You just cut it into sections, and the shell, like, firms up, and it becomes like a half shell, and you just serve it off of that. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Very good fish.
Excellent.
It's not as dense as shark or tuna. It's a little bit more flaky than that, but it's not as gelatinized, say, like freshwater bass. It's kind of like in between, almost like a trout, but much larger.
So what other fish are you pulling out of the Gulf that you like to prepare?
Ling, lemon fish. They call them cobia. I think the proper name's cobia.
Yeah,
it's like a shark and mm-hmm. a little dark. And yeah, but man, that is some of the best eaten fish. You can fry it, you can pan saute it. Another one is snapper, red snapper, mangrove snapper. Outstanding fish, and again, you can serve it many different ways, and speckled trout. You know, there are a lot of people that just freak out on speckled trout. Very good fish. You can catch a bunch of them. The limit's real high, so a lot of people stock up their freezers with that, and they invite their family over and have a huge fish fry.
That sounds wonderful. So, if your friends are going to be listening to your shows here, what you'll notice is our bumper in and out is like the number one song on the charts right now. It's called Rich Men from Richmond.
Oh, Lord,
Rich Men North of Richmond. Isn't that a great song?
Oh, my God. That guy went from obscurity to, like, number one in the country.
I know.
Amazing. Good for him.
But you know, what a cool song. And people are finding ways to tell the government that they're really hurting everybody. And I just thought that was a fantastic song. I wanted to promote it a little bit. I'm glad you heard it.
I'll be honest. I love paying $5 a gallon for gas. That nobody ever.
Yeah. Well, if you're retired, it's a little harder.
Yeah, just a bit.
Or unemployed. Keith, what other little fish tips do you want to hit on? Oh, I wanted to tell you, I used that Swamp Desk on my boil.
Yeah,
that stuff's got some heat. You got to be careful how much of that you throw in. It's not like Old Bay at all.
No. It's got a little bit of everything in there, so. You know, it's one of those packages where you don't need to add anything to it. You know, some of these seasonings, you need to add more salt, you need to add more heat, you know, you need to add more of the Obey or the crab ball type seasoning. This is all in one. It has lemon, has everything.
It's called Swamp Dust, and you turned us on to it. I did shrimp and scallops for my family 3-4 weeks ago, and it was it was so good. I mean, there was nothing left. I thought I made too much. There was nothing left.
That's the other T-Gidge's best friend from high school. His name is Richie Romero. It's his proprietary blend, and you can get it at CajunWholesale.com. It's amazing. He's really blown it up with all around the country with that Swamp Dust.
That's awesome. I just wondered how that would be to put on your fish if you're going to fry it.
I wouldn't do that because it has a lot of them seasonings that, you know, I'm actually coming out with my own seasoning. It's called Extra Cajun, Bob, and I'm going to send you a sample when we get rolling with it. But, you know, they got a lot of seasonings out there, and I'm not going to mention this guy by name, but he's kind of like a YouTube, TikTok phenomenon from down here. And when he tastes it, it tastes like that. It tastes like crab ball. I would never use that in any Cajun dish. I'd use it in a pot when I'm boiling something, but not in a rice, a rice and gravy or a jambalaya or crawfish etouffee or anything like that.
So it's a confiscated Cajun where they think just throwing as much pepper in as you can makes it Cajun.
You know, and that's why I'm coming out with this seasoning because, you know, it's like I told my producer, I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of people. I travel a lot around the country in the South, and there's a lot of Cajun, so-called, quote-unquote, Cajun restaurants. And when you eat the food, it's like, man, this ain't Cajun. And when I cook, doing demos, they're like, man, it's some of the best food I've ever tasted. And it's like, well, it's Cajun seasoning. It's Cajun food. And they're like, well, how do I get your seasoning? And I'm like, it's in my head. You know, it's not on the market. So we're coming out with this just to right the ship up. There's a lot of people misrepresenting my culture, and I think that's very personal. So, you know, we're going to try and do a little bit of good out there.
That sounds awesome. I still have an excerpt from an interview you did with me about 10 years ago where you were talking about a trip you made up to maybe Richmond or somewhere, and you actually told the chef that you wanted to come back and teach him how to cook Cajun.
Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll never forget that.
So we have a promo we send out to collect sponsors, and we take the best little pieces of – we've got a great one on Robbie Russell there, too, that is just fantastic. Yeah. I miss him every day. But, you know, there's just little moments in this show that turned out to be as funny as can be. And that was one of them.
That's a true story, bro.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. So when's your seasoning going to be out?
We're hoping to have a product out in about another month. We're going to have jars of seasoning. We're going to have it on extracajun.com, which the website hadn't launched, but it will be launched whenever we get product. And we'll have apparel, aprons, hoodies, shirts, hats.
Well, you let me know. I'll help you get some shelf space up here.
I'd love it, man. I appreciate it. But it's authentic. You know, we've tried it on fried shrimp. We tried it in, like I said, all the staple Cajun dishes, and it just pops. It reminds me of my dad, my grandmother's cooking, and that's what I was trying to hit, authentic Cajun flavoring. And that's actually Extra Cajun is just the title of the seasoning, but it is authentic Cajun seasoning. And the tagline, you want to know the tagline?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just need a little more. That's why we got a little extra gear.
Well, guys, we kind of blew through this show, and I think we could probably keep talking about these things for another 5 hours because it's food, and we all love food. Excited to try some fish with your new seasoning on it. Brad, thanks so much for joining us and taking the time out so you don't have to work. That's
my pleasure. My pleasure. Good. Believe me, well, the people through my window here keep banging on the glass. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that first shipment of seasoning, I need to bring it to Brad personally, so I might have to do a fishing trip. We'll figure a good time. I'll be in touch with you, Brad.
Please do. I'll connect on Facebook with you.
Love it. Love it.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks so much. It's the Wild Show from the Grilling Guys. It's been a wild week. And go out and make it a better week on your grill in your backyard, whether you're down in Louisiana or out in Rogers Pond. We can have some fun. Thanks to all our affiliates out there, WBRN in Big Rapids, WJIM in Lansing, and, of course, the Jethro FM family.
Yeah,
Conrad,
we're not done, man. We got one more segment. We got to head up north in a little bit. So, boys, we appreciate you. Stand by for more from the Grilling Guys Radio Network.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It is the Grillin' Guys show. It's the Wild Show. My name is Barbecue Bob. Jop is on vacation. And so I get to have a bunch of old friends in to do interviews. And one that I've been chatting with lately is Vern Nelson from Alberta, Canada. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, formerly of Alberta, Canada, now Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah,
I was wondering if that was BC. I don't know where the line is there. I guess about Banff, right?
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So anyway, Vern is he was actually my boss when I worked for the Canadian Hot Tub Company, and now Vern bought his own store, and he's in Kelowna. And we text back and forth about food all the time. He's a huge foodie. And you said you were going up to make some sausage.
We did, yeah. So I had a pal who had a group of guys that would get together a couple times a year and make sausage. And unfortunately, the group leader passed away. And so my buddy Jeff wanted to carry that on. So he knew I would be into it for sure. And so he approached me, and we pulled it off. So, yeah, we're on our way now.
So what'd you make?
Yeah, so we made a first out of the gate, we made a German bratwurst from original German recipe, and turned out great, unbelievably. It was awesome.
Spices?
A pork-based sausage with, like, about 30 different spices in it.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was
That's
really
complex.
Great.
So strictly pork cuts, and what cuts in particular? Just the trimmings and the cheapest stuff, the waste, the stuff you want to get rid of for sausage?
Could have been, probably should have been, but yeah, pretty much what we did to get going is we just told everyone just kind of bring in a pork shoulder, and if you got some time, break it down a little bit just to make it grind a bit easier and things go faster. So it was basically just like, you know, pork butt, and added a little bit of fat, and that was it.
Ah, that's beautiful. So
yeah, awesome.
How many times did you grind that meat?
Twice.
So it's a double grind. Okay.
Yeah, Yeah. Kept it a bit coarse. I think we somehow again got it right out of the gate.
And about this, so what kind of sausage casings did you put that in, and then did you smoke any of it?
Just normal like pork natural casing.
Okay.
That was probably the hardest part of it, is just learning how to extrude it properly and the right rate and all that. So that was a bit messing around. But in the end, it worked out good. Everybody kind of, we vac packed it right away. So we blanched it and vac packed it. And then everyone was free to do, take it home, do whatever they wanted with it afterwards. So some were smoking it right away, like next day.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, other guys were like, throwing on the grill. So it was across the board. Everyone said it turned out great, no matter what they did with it. So, really pleased. Yeah.
So tell us about the Kelowna area. For folks that have never been to British Columbia, describe where you live.
Sure. We're very fortunate. We live in sort of the wine country of Canada. So we live quite southerly. We're an hour, a bit, maybe 2 hours from the border. But it's the Okanagan Valley. So it's defined by about a 80-mile long lake that we all live along and around. Known big time for vineyards and orchards. And we think we grow some of the best wine in the world these days. New world wine, of course. White to the northern part of the lake and down close to the border. We can grow some pretty good reds. So yeah, lots of wine here, lots of good food. A lot of people come here to set up restaurants to cater to the wine tour trade, of course. So we're very fortunate.
So on the south end of that, would that be called the High Desert?
The Sonoran Desert comes through here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So even like a bit to the north of us gets even hotter than here, in a way. So we're, we're hovering around 100 degrees, 90, 100 degrees. So for Canada, it gets, quite warm here.
So that's the banana belt for Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of retirees for sure. Tons of growing though, for sure. Of all things, for sure.
Wow. That's awesome. What's the next sausage you got coming up?
Yeah. So we're going to make it's called Chivap. It's a sort of like a Eastern European kind of Mediterranean hand-formed sausage. So it's kind of a street food sausage. Often the folks, it's lamb-based, so and people serve
really?
It with like a veggie type of spread. They call it aviar on like a pita. So it's just like a grab-and-go sort of snack food that some friends of ours came across when they were touring, and they thought we should give it a try. So a little bit exotic for newbies, but we're going to give it a go.
Wow, lamb-based sausage.
Yeah, man. Yeah. the best part of it? The best part of it is it's there's a lot of work, obviously, as involved in making sausage. And so it gives a lot of my pals an opportunity to kind of participate and kick in. You throw a chunk of meat on, you kind of just stand around waiting for it to cook. But here it's participatory and we're all doing a bit. And that's, for me, the best part of it.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Tell us what other areas around you that folks in the eastern part of the continent might want to travel up to visit.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous part of the world. Vancouver is our major international destination, so we're like a 5-hour drive from Vancouver, but it's just an hour flight away to Vancouver into the interior of British Columbia. Coming in from the east, you go over the Rockies, like you mentioned, the resort towns of Banff and Jasper, which are on the Alberta side, and you drop over into British Columbia right after there, and all through the valleys. There's just multiple mountain ranges. There's valleys all throughout that are just full of awesome things.
Beauty, just full of beauty. It's a different world. If you've never been to the Northwest, I mean, it is such a huge part of North America. The vastness of it and the beauty
absolutely.
You better have an airplane.
Yeah, the mountains are towering. I don't think a lot of people, if you haven't traveled here, get a real sense of how tall, how sharp, extreme the Rockies are in this part of the world. And flying over them is just spectacular. And then if you can drop in and drop into a ski resort or drop into in the summertime into a camping or lake scenario, it's just jaw dropping, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah. Vern, I'm so glad you're branching out in your grilling endeavors, and you're quite a foodie. You and I traveled many parts of the world eating and drinking and having fun. And I do miss you dearly, and I'm happy to see your pictures and watch you progress along on your grilling status. I know you're busy working because you have your own hot tub store now, and how's that going?
It's awesome. Yeah, it's a lot of people move to Kelowna. You know, life has gone well. It's one of those couple places in Canada you maybe aim to live in. So we have a constant influx of folks who, you know, worked real hard and are retiring here. So we do a lot of work with that. It's just a busy place. So yeah, it's been great. It's been great business wise. And for like you say, like for a foodie, it's just it's heaven. There's just unending things to try.
So that's
it's
awesome.
Been great. And we look forward to having you up here, man.
That's awesome. All right. Well, listen. Any other little grilling things? We got a minute here. Any other things you've tried out on your smoker?
I think nothing too crazy. I guess what I wanted to say is, I mean, you got me started. I thank you for that because, I've been able to take that start to all my buddies. And, you know, most people in Canada haven't been indoctrinated the way I was lucky to be with you, into barbecue. So I was able to do that. So, my message would be just try it, get started, get your buddies together. And it's been grand for sure.
That's cool. One of my favorite pictures that rolls up on my computer is you and I in front of Oklahoma Joe's when we went to Kansas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Pretty good trip down there. And, well, listen, say hi to Waylon and the boys, and hope to be able to get up there to see you sometime in the near future. This summer's about cooked. I'm sure your brother-in-law is getting ready to go elk hunting, and you got all that
yes,
stuff
indeed.
Going on.
Yeah, that'll probably be the next thing is a little wild game to bring into the mix here, so we'll keep you updated on that side of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you know how well that stuff smokes up.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's quite adept at getting it as well, so we should have no problem.
Awesome. All right. Vern Nelson, Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. Thanks so much for joining us, friend.
Pleasure. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow, nice. We've got a Canadian on the show. That we're international today.
Well, you know, he's kind of a quiet guy, so I knew I'd have to coax the stories out of him a little bit, but he's just a tremendous person. Hey, thanks for joining us. It's the Grilling Guys. We'll be back next week. If you're on the Jethro Network, we're going to stick around for the bunker. See ya.